but now I got too wild with it. Wow. It's got to go back on there some way. I think it's a little kind of a filter or something. Yeah, we're getting close. All right. Sorry about that. Wasn't trying to put on a show this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 6 today. Most of the day. Most of the morning. For part of it anyway. I titled it Jesus the Bread of Life today. This is another of the portraits of Jesus found in John. And pretty much all of chapter 6 is talking about Jesus as the bread of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll get started. Father, I thank you that you are the bread of life, that we get our life from you, that we live because of you. Father, that we are able to live eternally because of the sacrifice that you made. Lord, I just appreciate so much your broken body, your shed blood, that you did that for me, that you died that I could live. And so, Father, I thank you. Lord, as we look at your word today, let us take the little nuggets from it that you give. Give us wisdom, knowledge. Father, let us hear what you want to say today to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start with the feeding of the 5,000 today. It goes right along with the bread of life, Jesus being the bread of life. And so let's start in verse 5. Chapter 6 of John. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. So Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to test the disciples. He wanted to test the guys that were walking with him, that spent their days with him. So he asked him, "Where are we going to get bread for all these people?" Well, Philip answered him. He said, 8 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. So how are we going to come up with enough money to buy bread for 5,000 people? Another of his disciples answered, Simon Peter's brother spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So Jesus was always going away by himself to get away from the crowds. But imagine what a miracle that was. Okay, so basically he had enough We had a lunch for one person, one or two people. Five little loaves of bread and two fish. They were small fish, so it's probably smaller than a goldfish. Goldfish starts out pretty little, though, doesn't it? But anyway, the miracle of it was that Jesus provided what they needed. He was the bread of life that day. And on over in the chapter in John, we're going to then begin over at 25, chapter or verse 25, and down through to look at what he's talking about here. So when they found him, what happens in between here is the Jesus walked on the water, and they were leaving and went to go to the other side of the lake. And then when the crowds then found him on the other side, this is where we're picking up in 25, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." So I said, it wasn't because of the miracles that you came looking for me, but it was because I fed you. Because you got enough to eat. You didn't have to sit around in hunger. And then he said in verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who has sent, that he has sent." So we're in the youth class. I've been have the privilege of teaching youth the last couple of weeks, and because Matt's had to work on Sunday mornings this last few weeks, and anyway, I've just loved it. It's been a really good time, and we've been talking about the gospel and what it is, what really is the gospel that we're preaching. So we've been talking about how to talk to your friends, how to share the gospel with others. And what the gospel is. The gospel is basically the fact that Jesus came and died for us so that we could have eternal life. And not just us, but everyone. That's what the gospel was written for. And this morning, as we were going through the lesson, I noticed that there's a prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 40 that talks about that Jesus would be coming, and then in the New Testament, we found out where Jesus actually fulfilled that prophecy. Well, that was prophesied 700 years before Jesus came. In 689 before Christ, B.C., Isaiah prophesied that he would be coming. So they were expecting Jesus to come. They were expecting this to all happen. But they didn't believe it when it happened, as you remember. But that's what the gospel is to believe in Jesus, to believe in the one he has sent. Verse 29. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe?" Why do we always need a miracle? That's something we just look for, isn't it? Why do we always need a miracle? "So what will you do?" he said. "Our forefathers ate the man in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." That was in Exodus 16:4, Nehemiah 9:15, and Psalms 78:24 and 25. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So we know that that was Jesus. So he is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And he's the one who gives us life. So we're talking about our spiritual man here today. In verse 34, they said, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus came to do the Father's will. They had a plan from the beginning of time that Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb for the world, for everyone. So, as you all know, in the Old Testament, if you sinned this week, you would have to bring along with you today a lamb, a bull, maybe a pigeon. You would have to bring something to put on the altar. They had an altar there made of stone that they could lay the animals on and sacrifice them. They would burn them as an aroma to the Lord. So we would have all had to bring animals with us to church today if we lived before Christ. That was part of their religion. That was part of what had to happen. They had to sacrifice something for sin. And as you know, none of us are perfect. So we have to confess our sins. That's all we have to do. Confess your sins, and he forgives us of all of our iniquities. Isn't it great that we don't have to bring a truck and trailer along every week to bring an animal along with us to sacrifice for the sin that we commit? Hallelujah. I can't even imagine. You know, they were dragging them along behind them on the road. They didn't have a truck and trailer to bring them like we do. But family after family, as they were going to church, brought their animals along with them to sacrifice. Thank the Lord that we don't have to do that today, because we have the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. I want to look at 1 Corinthians at the Lord's Supper. I've got, I noticed, so you all remember when Matt was here, how he always used this account from 1 Corinthians whenever he was doing his doing devotions for communion. 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to begin in verse 23. I want to read down through 32. So, and you may have heard me preach on this before. I know I've touched on it, because as you prepare for communion, and you'll see it after we get, I'm just going to read through it first. So for verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So that's why we do it week after week, why we're repetitious with it, because we're proclaiming the gospel. As we eat and drink. And this is the bread of life. This is what gives us life. So, and then it goes on in 27. It says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number have already fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, then we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. And that's one of the reasons it's right there that we always partake of it together. We wait and take it together. And then it goes on talking about if you're hungry, why eat at home before you come? And it's not something to fill us up. It's not something for a meal, but it's the body and blood of Jesus Christ, because he is the bread of life. But I wanted to share those verses with you just in recognition that Jesus is the bread of life. Now over in Matthew 6, I just want to look at the Lord's Prayer as we close up today. You'll notice in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, give us today our daily bread. There in verse 11. So, what if he's talking about our spiritual bread? I always thought of that as thanking him for what we have to eat, our abundance, our, you know, the food, the provision that we have. But what if there he's talking about the bread of life? What if he's talking about our spiritual man instead of our provision? Do we feed our spiritual man three meals a day? Or even do we feed our spiritual man daily? Do we love him enough to spend time with him every day, for a little while every day? I've encouraged the youth to begin reading through the Bible every year. And I'm going to encourage you in that as well. There is just so many little nuggets every time you go through. I've got my Bible highlighted. So I've had this one since Jesse was at Gilead Christian School. I got this Thompson's Edition Bible at one of the silent auctions down there at school. And it has been such a blessing because of the stuff that it has along the edges for study. And I have loved this Bible. I started reading through it probably 33 years ago. I just made some copies of a Bible reading schedule to go so that you can all read through the Bible in a year. If you would like one, pick it up off the back there. We can make more copies if you don't have one. But it's just something that I would encourage you to do, because it will make the Word of God mean so much more to you if you spend time in it. If you read through the whole thing, it just all makes sense. There's just so many good things that come from the Old Testament into the New, and it'll just help you to grow up in the Lord. that discipline has done more for me to make me the man of God that I am. I never in my early life would have believed I'd be up here preaching, guys. I didn't expect to be a preacher. I'm a carpenter. And when the Lord told me that I should encourage the elders to lead the church, what, 6 years ago now? It's been a while, maybe more than that. I only did that because God told me to do that. None of us were ready for it. We hadn't planned on it. But you can see what God did here. I'm just thankful that we paid attention to what he was saying. Thankful that we paid attention to what he was saying. Because it's just a matter of listening to God. You all know that elder, pastor is the same word in the Hebrew and the Greek. It's the same thing. We were supposed to be instrumental in leading the church anyway. And so why not share the word of God with you as well? So that's what we're trying to do. Just lead the church through the word. None of us are great scholars. We're not theologians. We don't really know all the technical words, and I'm simple, as all of us are. It's easy for you to understand, I hope. I don't use a lot of big words. If I do, I try to figure out what they mean before I say them. So another thing that I want to share with you, we learned from Sunday school today, and it was totally new to me. So you've got, all of everything is based on Jesus' life. So time is either measured by before Christ or after his death. Now, I always thought AD meant after death. It doesn't. We found out this morning it's a word from, it's an Italian word, I think. What's the word? Does anybody have your little book with you? Anno Domini. There we go. AD is Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. I never knew that. That was the first time that I always just figured it was after death, after Jesus' death. But the year of our Lord was probably the year that he was born. Because, as I said, when I was reading in Isaiah this morning, I noticed that prophecy was from 700 years before Jesus. So imagine hearing for 700 years that Jesus is coming, generation after generation. So how long is it going to be that we wait for his second coming? You know, we think of time in years, in hours of the day. God doesn't think of time that way at all. Eternity is, how long is eternity? So I have a hard time measuring even 700 years, thinking, well, how would you be looking for prophecy for that long? But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's going to go on and on into eternity. So spend some time in the Word this week. Get to know Jesus, because he is our life. He is the bread of life. So as we close up today, the praise team will be here to share a song with us. And Matt and Jesse and I will be here if you need prayer with anything. We'd love to pray with you.